Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, 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 hello.
This is Clara Gibson
and Rosie Wall
here in beautiful, sunny Ramsgate. And today we are talking about women
being stuck.
And how often have
to the very beginning.
The very beginning?
Well, I get stuck coming out. All of us have to go back to the very beginning, don't we, to work out where we first started to get those sticking points, Clara. And you know what, when I reflect back, obviously there's times you can remember as a child, but then there are teenager times, which are the critical years. Just by way of background, hi everybody, I'm Rosie Wall, I'm a teacher. So I know a little bit about teenage years and children.
And you were a teenager.
I'm still a teenager myself now.
Oh, that's good.
The issue is, when do we crack being stuck? What methods do we use and how do we keep moving forward? And this is where you are so amazing and expert. So,
but the interesting thing is, I think, is that most people don't realise they're stuck until they've been stuck for quite a while. And then they realise that they're uncomfortable with where they are.
Yes, that's true. I think there are things that happen that we all know. You know out there, ladies, too, if you're tuning in because you feel stuck with your life too, that there are patterns everywhere. Patterns in the early part of your life. As a teenager, they kind of get more embedded. And then, of course, you become absorbed or obsessed with acquiring the opposite sex, which is what I did at least 20 years of my life. Maybe
and
more,
you're only,
but I'm not going to give my age away.
And you're only 21 now.
Indeed, darling.
So you've been at it for 20 years.
I'm telling you.
So that's funny.
Add to that to all the aspects of being stuck, which is obviously, you know, relationship and career and who you see yourself as. That can actually not happen till a little bit later on, but we're saying you could start it earlier, girl.
Well, I think it's getting into habits, isn't it, as well, that people get into a habit of response. And so you do hear this with young children, I'm bored.
Yeah.
You know, I'm bored. I'm always bored.
Well bored.
I'm really bored. You know, and
we dream of being bored now. We're just exhausted from
and
the administration of life. It's so tiring, isn't it?
But everything, you know, so, well, it is interesting that it becomes a response that people can continue through their lives. And I remember years ago, actually, on occasions I must have said I was bored. And I remember when I was doing A-level music, my music teacher saying to me, because I said something, I must have given him a response saying, I was bored. And he said that only boring people were ever bored.
Oh, there's always some little thing like that.
Yeah, and I have to say,
my
fear of being boring actually made me, you know, I had a very strange mother, and my mother used to stick her fingers in her ears when I had conversations with her.
Oh dear.
And so my fear of being boring actually may indeed have made me on occasion exceptionally boring. But as you were saying earlier, there are all sorts of things that people get used to which make them stuck.
Well, look, if we go back to the beginning about this idea of where this starts. We were talking about this earlier, dreams. What were your early formative dreams? Where did you see yourself go? What did you want to be when you first started to think of the concept of Clara? You say there is this issue about you worrying about being boring.
I know, right. Well, I can remember in primary school, I wanted to be a princess.
Oh, sweetie.
I did.
You're beautiful.
Oh, you're so sweet. And so I wanted to be a princess, and then I wanted to be an ice skating dancer.
Well, that's lovely too. So there's an element of sporty there, maybe competitive.
Expansive.
Expressive.
But expansive, actually, because we lived in a very micro world,
yeah,
actually. So we had no contact with the outside world except school,
right,
really. And so then when I got older, I first of all, so, well, actually, by the time I was 12, I wanted to be an opera singer. Exactly. Sorry. That wasn't me. That was Rosie.
That's my training, guys. Yes. Absolutely classical.
So I wanted to be an opera singer, and then, but in between times, my mother told me that was
amazing.
My mother was always saying that wasn't, you know, what, you know, nice people did, you know. So
God forbid you should be creative, Clara.
No, exactly.
Well, God forbid.
But she had been a fashion designer herself.
Oh, awesome.
But anyway, she. So I did. I went. I thought I might be a forensic scientist.
Now that's quite a switch to me, because ladies out there, and possibly a few gents, I am Rosie Ward, director of Creative Women. So I'm always going to be plugging my Creative Women, which is a female enterprise, a network of women who support each other to work on their business enterprises. So I want to know when you first flipped from being potentially creative and expressive to scientific, because actually that fascinates me that you have those two components to your mind, and your dream or your vision of yourself has to be a kind of melange of all the versions of yourself, which is where I think a lot of us get stuck, because we're confused, aren't we?
Oh!
I'm confused.
Are you confused?
I've always been confused, because there's the rational person that you need to be throughout life to cope with all the difficulties and the organisation and so forth.
Oh, so, may I just
ask? And then there's the dream you, isn't there? Who, the dream version of yourself that you're maybe working towards, or maybe you haven't even started because you're afraid.
Well, I think all little girls probably have little dreams of being something bigger. Typically, our dreams are about us being bigger, aren't they? You know, they are.
I mean,
because you're little.
Yes.
They are. They're bigger than us. And then the unfortunate thing is that very often people begin getting lost in doing the exams, in being obedient, in pleasing their parents. Pleasing their man. And then for some women, it's maybe that they get stuck with pleasing their children. And then they get stuck with the job. And then actually they worry about what other people think of them. And so then they get further and further away from who they are.
Absolutely.
As they're learning to please.
Well,
and forever worrying whether they actually ever do.
This is a critical thing. You've just hit the nail on the head now, Clara. And this is the whole purpose of why we're out here trying to get through to you, ladies. And that is that in this huge potpourri of things that you're meant to be in the world, from year dot right through to whatever age you are, the pressures mounted on you are so considerable that you're going to find yourself, you are lost. And you sometimes are so lonely and exhausted. And there are ways forward through that, but you have to find where you're stuck first so that you can move forward.
How do we do that, Clara? Well, you see, I don't know that that's necessarily the case.
Okay.
I would say, that, I mean, sure, there will be those who know where they are stuck, and they know, you know, that there is much more to them. And I would always say that actually what there is to each and every single one of us, men, women, children, you know, actually our potential is unlimited as long as as long as we keep developing our abilities. And so by learning new things all the time, and it doesn't even need to be huge things, it can just be trying something new. It might just be trying a new recipe. It might be trying a different, you know, a collection of clothing together. It might be doing something different with your hair. It might be, you know,
being creative.
It might be saying
taking
hello.
Taking up something that is creative that it possibly becomes the linchpin or the springboard or something that really unleashes the new version of you.
But for some women, because they are so stuck.
Yeah.
Actually, their belief that they can be creative is actually stuck. And they need getting to feel comfortable with them.
Yeah.
And actually just being able to feel them. so many times women actually, well, and men too, are very, very, very out of touch with how they feel.
Oh, do you know what, Clara? As you were speaking, I was just thinking that's so absolutely right. But that links so beautifully to my particular difficulties in life, and that is I get stuck in the best version that I can conjure up of myself because of the image society has of what a woman should be. You know, the very slender, slim, blonde, wealthy-looking types that you get on TV. And that, to me...
That leaves me out.
Well, I know. Do you know what? maybe it leaves a lot of other people out there.
But it depends upon your values.
The struggle to fight this as a concept for women, for the whole of womankind, is for me what has arrested my progress. The fear, the terror that I don't conform to those particular...
That's a shame.
I know. Well, it's the truth.
Yes,
it's
but
it's truth.
But it's also the interesting thing is that our fears and our beliefs and what we believe that society expects of us are really as much just what we say in our own heads to ourselves, berating ourselves again and again and again.
No, we have to be thin, blonde, rich, with children.
No, I don't agree.
Yes, we do.
No,
or
I don't
we
agree.
Have failed as women, Clara.
No, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I've failed as a woman. I would say that actually I've learnt to be comfortable, actually. And I think, and more than that, actually really happy with the life that I live. And I think that there is something about becoming aware of the stories that we tell ourselves. And the stories that we tell ourselves can actually keep us really stuck. Because we're actually not living in the moment. When we're telling ourselves stories about what other people or society or something else out there is not agreeing with how you, me, or whatever are, then we're actually not seeing ourselves and we're not being able to accept ourselves.
The average young person does not have the infrastructure in place to be able to be that reflective, which is where the dangers are, which is what makes me so worried for womankind, which is why it's absolutely critical to put out there into the universe all the infinite possibilities and different versions of types of women that we can be.
But we can be, and we can change and change and change. You know, there is no reason why we should be one kind of being.
No, we're constantly evolving, and
yeah.
I love that as a concept.
Yeah.
The different versions of us as we go through life. I always, my saying is that the best is yet to come, but actually each stage can be the best too, because you can be the best version at that particular life phase.
But also the interesting thing is when people sort of say, if you know, when I can do X, Y or Z, or when I have a man, or when I have a house, or when I have
must have a man,
or whenever we have, you know, I must have this, I must do that,
oh,
I must do the other, then I will be happy.
Yes.
But actually, happiness is a state of mind that we can have right now, regardless of where we are, what we have, what we're doing. We can choose to focus on things around us that are right, because there will always be stuff around us that is right.
Yes, like positive affirmations, like identifying actually, if you sat in a space at any point, in your living room or just outside on a park bench and listed in almost bullet point fashion what wonderful gifts you had in your life, that would be a starting point.
Yeah.
As to
gratitude is an outcry of
gratitude about where you're currently at and what you've already been given to you,
yeah.
as opposed to what you aspire to.
Well, it's about acceptance, and I always think that when you can accept the moment as it is, whatever it is inevitably more comfortable than it is when you're resisting the moment. Because when you're resisting the moment, you're not wanting it.
Mindfulness, that's what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, mindfulness is a new term.
Yes,
you know,
it's
but
become
actually,
trendy, hasn't
but,
it?
Yes, but actually it's... Cool, good psychology.
Well, I think it's,
which has now been renamed mindfulness.
It's metacognition, isn't it? Thinking about thinking.
Thinking about thinking. When I was at primary school, one of the last pieces of English work I remember was a we were set a piece to write about thinking. And the boy that I sat next to, James Rayside, if you hear this...
Well, hello, James! Call out for James!
Actually, he wrote, and it was so brilliant, because there were people who wrote, you know, pages.
Yeah.
And he wrote, I'm thinking about thinking about thinking.
Oh, I love that.
About that. And I just thought he was brilliant. You know, I mean, he really, really was. That was, to me, was... It was obviously very memorable because I remember it.
Yeah. Well, that's whether you are stuck or whether indeed you are flowing and happy and at the point in your life that you really want to be.
And it's interesting, you see, that actually when people recognise that actually maybe they're just not very comfortable once they've got to the point, because lots of people don't know what they want.
I think
they know what they don't want to feel as they're feeling anymore.
I think life is divided into compartments and components. So the first part of life is a certain phase, the second part follows certain patterns, and then there are just these great chunks that always seem to go in the same way for people. And because we're not emotionally and psychologically developed enough to know or to follow the right pointers, we get ourselves into a terrible mix-up. And I think it's really important at any stage of your life to be able to learn particular formulas for self-help, for self-love, for self-development.
But those formulas will be different for different people.
Absolutely.
It's a bit like different shoes fit differently on different people.
It's sad to think that you'd have to get to, gosh, I don't know, 50 or 60 before you'd actually, you know, found the plot.
But for many, that's true, sadly, for many people, and in part, I think that's part of the system. The system, and now some people will say, what do you mean by the system?
What do I mean by the system?
But the system is actually...
Society?
Society, the greater economy. Not necessarily culture, but I suppose the controls culture, the way, you know, the culture that is shaping us.
Right, guys.
And yeah, maybe. And so it's what actually would have us serve the system. So I would say my scepticism is such that we may we're encouraged never to realise ourselves.
We're a symptom of our context and our time. And I think that is fascinating because, I mean, obviously through theatre and literature, there are women portrayed as being, you know, enslaved and trapped in their own periods of time, which, of course, are the worlds that they are constructs to how far their parameters can go. But I think what's great about the here and now is, well, actually, do you know what? We're just at that cusp, I think, that point where women are about to go big, ladies. We're about to take over the world. That's what I think, Laura.
Yeah.
Don't quote me.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think as women become...
empowered.
Yes, and actually allowed to know that actually they can do... They don't need to just please other people. And that actually they can learn to have happier relationships, even with, you know... I mean, often people don't necessarily need to change their relationships from one person to another, but by learning to be happier themselves, by learning to express themselves more, actually the nature of their relationship may change radically.
Do you know what? I'm going to challenge you there, and we love a challenge on this show, don't we?
Yeah.
I think the more I tried to exercise my muscle of independence as to who I thought I really was, the more difficult it was for me to keep those relationships going. Not my girlfriend relationships. They were always sister soulmates and always will be, nurturing the very best. But relationships with men have become severely hampered the second I tried to be more expressive or more identified to who I was. The role of a woman attached to a male in that sense, I do find it can be very restricting. So, you know, if you're out there in a relationship and you're not quite yet, you know, budding or flowering as you should, hey, I've been there and I hear you and I feel the pain, but I think there are ways through that and there are compromises that you can make.
Yes, I mean, I think we do need to, in life, we, where actually we'll have a more connected sense of life if we are willing to compromise. I think if we're not willing to compromise, then I think then actually life might be quite antagonistic.
But do you think when the word compromise isn't in our female vocabulary, Clara? You see, I believe that women are doing everything. We are superheroes of our time.
I think that women often compromise far too much.
Yeah, so, and that's the point.
I do think that's true. And I think that they've learned to, in the process of, you know, they may have made their efforts to, you know, to whether if we're in the situations where they don't have a lovely relationship, okay, so when you're not, I mean, because I've been not in a, I mean, I'm in a good relationship now, but
oh,
I mean, but it's a part-time one in a way because we don't live in the same place and all that sort of thing, but having been married for 18-19 years, and I would say that I really lost myself completely.
I would have to agree with you completely. But there are benefits to both parties in the marriage context, aren't
there?
You take as well as you give, and then you hopefully learn from the experience. But when it becomes dangerous is when your personal growth becomes arrested, or when you become to feel unhappy or just unfulfilled in some way. You've really got to identify when those moments are happening. Because this is one life. We've got one shot. Well, I mean, unless, of course, you believe in the afterlife and so forth. But this corporeal experience this mortal experience that we have on this planet right now, we've got to grasp it with both hands.
Well, but also I think that by developing ourselves and sort of like becoming really in tune with, you know, what we feel is right, then we, for ourselves, and indeed... Yes, I mean, I think that we... I've lost my train of thought.
I'm also here. Sorry. I actually think that... do you know what? I was putting out into the ether that you told me earlier on today about the challenges that you faced as a parent. So I was actually thinking that's actually one of... If you think about...
For women, I think.
It's the largest aspect of life that is the most... Well, I don't know. There's no one singular word for it. You're a parent. I am not. So you talk on this, Clara.
Well, I think it is interesting. And I think it depends upon the work that women engage with as well as parenting. I mean, I think that when women are mothers and if they're also partners, they may indeed actually have just a bigger child with them, I'm afraid.
But where's the blooper?
But it's really interesting that you can, and I mean, it may be, for me, it was the one thing I really, really wanted. I went through hell having a son who lived. But then you sort of realise, you know, that, and it's been wonderful. I mean, it really has been wonderful, but it is actually, it is your life, and you sort of amend your work around it. For many women, I think
Can I ask you something? Please forgive me, ladies out there, and please forgive me, Clara, for asking this. And it's certainly not politic, it's because it's so sensitive. But I'm asking this because I'm a woman without children.
Okay.
Did you ever feel that it was a source of draining your energy? Draining it so that you can't fully become or fulfill your own personal potential. I'm being devil's advocate here. Of course, I'm not a nasty person. I mean, I think it's the most wondrous, creative thing in the world to have given birth. But what I'm trying to do is identify where in a woman's life she might find herself stuck. You know, as a wife, as a mother, and those roles are so vast.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because the creativity can be in helping your own offspring to become worthwhile and valuable citizens,
yeah,
in whatever way they do it.
Absolutely.
Because there are many, many ways.
Yes,
indeed.
Yeah.
But also in the very process, obviously, you know, unless that's how a woman chooses for that to be her outlet, then obviously her time is either divided or it's actually given up to child caring and other domestic chores and whatever. And so then very often women will find that their own skills and interests get less developed.
Well, so say I am a woman who has three young children, or well, say across the spread, ranging from 3 to 12.
Yeah.
So that you're talking a period of 15 to 15.
Oh, it could be. I would say
years
up to
your
about
life.
18 years.
No,
it'll be more than that because,
right. I mean, obviously there are women out there saying, "What an outrage! Of course my life hasn't been arrested."
No.
I believe that for the large proportion of women out there, they really struggle because it is the administration of life,
yeah,
it's the organisation,
yeah,
it's the sheer exhaustion of the day-to-day of getting things organised so that you can be a brilliant parent, hopefully, you aspire to be a brilliant parent, and nurture this young person through life. But what gets lost? What gets left behind with that? Where are
but
you?
I think, you see, right, you can sort of accept that actually you then at some point in your life you need to put time aside to develop you.
Right. And so you're talking about apportioning time. Okay.
But yeah, people are going to have to say, right, at some point in my time, I mean, some women won't, because some women will actually, you know, be very happy doing on the pathway that they are, even if they're not necessarily totally fulfilled. But in some ways, they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
But I think that for many women, they do feel constrained. And they sort of think, oh, God, you know, I mean, it's the summer holidays right now. And so, you know, so many... It's bliss for teachers, okay, but not if they're parents, because they go from being sort of, you know, part-time parents and full-time teachers to full-time parents. And so they may be sort of thinking, when do I ever get a moment off? Which could be, you know, very understandable. But so many women, and I mean, increasingly women are working for themselves, they're self-employed. When their children are at school, they're able to put in lots of, use that time. It is the most, increasingly women are becoming self-employed.
Well, that's what I'm just about to say, Clara, and this leads beautifully to the end of what we have to come to say today, and that is career, one's career. We are experts in multiple streams of income. That's what we believe. That's our T-shirt. That's the logo we want on the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Women on the front and on the back, multiple streams of income.
Yeah,
because every time we come back to this question,
for their independence,
financial independence through finding different methods of,
especially it's most important regarding pensions. I mean, because I read an article.
We're nearly at the end. So lovely to be with you today, guys.
Yes, thank you so much for listening in. Do send in questions and do feel free to ring in.
What's next week's topic? Can we have a phone in?
It's goals.
Goals!
It won't be next week because... Oh, it might be next week. It can be next week, but the following week I will be in the States. So
now you're just showing off.
I am. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.
Lots of love. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.